Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. For the next half hour, we are going to be addressing how plays are covering environmental issues, health issues, economic issues, conflicts between communities, regarding ecological and economic problems, with my guest, Bart DiLorenzo. He has written and directed the current play, Enemy of the People, at the Odyssey Theater in West Los Angeles. He is founding artistic director of Evidence Room Theater. He has also directed many plays, including Design for Living, Ghost, Loot, Kiss, Go Back to Where You Are, Day Drinkers, and a number. Other productions include The False Servant, Passion Play, Annapurna, Ivanov, Margot Vale, and The Receptionist, and guest productions, Mad Women of the West and Too Much Sun. He has had his plays at the Geffen Playhouse, the South Coast Rep, Pittsburgh City Theater, Cleveland Playhouse, Los Angeles Theater Center, Ensemble Theater of Santa Barbara, East West Players, Theater of Note, and many others. He has received many honors, including the LA Drama Critics Circle Awards, LA Weekly and Backstage Awards, and the Theater Communications Group Alan Schneider Director Award. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I was absolutely enthralled by your most recent play at the Odyssey Theater, which I encourage everybody to go to. It's going to be playing until the end of September. While it is based on Henrik Ibsen's An Enemy of the People, you really brought it into the 21st century. Your new adaptation is a play of its own. You covered so many concerns ecologically, public health, economic survival, individual conscience, collective will. Perhaps you could summarize what the play is about.
Yeah, trying to be very contemporary. Ibsen wrote his play in the 1880s, and I think it was kind of a very novel, revolutionary play in its moment. But of course, in our time, these are our everyday issues, aren't they? It's really a play about a crisis in a small town, kind of a microcosm of the world, in which a scientist identifies an ecological problem that needs to be addressed immediately, and the local government becomes scared about the costs of addressing that issue, and they turn against the science, and he has to fight for his voice, for the people that he's trying to protect, and then the people themselves turn on him. Sound familiar? And so the play becomes a struggle between all these different factions, and what is more important, the people's health or people's livelihoods, and who gets to make those decisions.
Every moment in the play seemed to reflect my 55 plus years of environmental activism, because there has been so much struggle in terms of communities recognizing ecological problems and doing something about it. And I recall when I started my radio program in the 70s that some of the businesses wouldn't be on the show. They said, we're concerned about economics, not the environment.
Right.
Of course, things have changed, but not quite, because they are still more concerned about their profits than they are about doing the right thing and making sure their local communities are healthy.
Every age seems to think that they are the enlightened age and that they figured it out. When you move along in years or over time, I remember when it would have been shocking to ban smoking on airplanes. People were like, that's ridiculous. How could you possibly ask people to not smoke on an airplane? Health progress is always challenged, isn't it?
Indeed, it is, because you mentioned smoking on the airplanes, and I was part of that campaign. I actually had an ashtray that showed a lung, half of it closed off and clean, and the the other half was where the smoke went, and it was black to show people what happens to people's lungs.
Right.
You have to use those kinds of visual props to sometimes show people what's really going on.
Right.
In your play, you had the scientist who was a doctor discover that the waters of the local hot springs were contaminated. He didn't present his findings immediately because he was a scientist. He wanted it tested, and it was polluted for 2 years until he finally got the results. And yet, as you indicated, not everybody wants to accept the results, and that seems to be what is happening all over the country and the world right now. People don't want to see that climate change is happening.
Right.
And then you have the whole issue of the financial interests, the political concerns, how public opinion collides. The person who's giving just the message of the problem, why does he become the enemy of the people, the name of your play?
Last week, I watched Dr. Fauci put through the ringer.
Terrible.
I thought it was a shameful attack on him. There's a line in the play where a character attacks him and says, well, you're not sure then, and not 100%. And the scientist says, well, that's not how science works.
Correct. People don't realize that scientists will never say 100% because things can change.
And everything needs to be examined. They do deal with likelihoods and probabilities and very specific actions to take. In Dr. Fauci's case, I mean, this is a novel thing, the situation, and everyone's doing research at the time and adjusting as more information comes in. I feel relieved that there's someone looking at the facts making decisions rather than people who are just making decisions and then looking for the facts that will prove their particular argument.
The story of pollution and understanding the science and what is happening goes back even to Rachel Carson and Silent Spring, where she pointed out that the birds are being killed. We're not going to have the songs of the birds because DDT and other pesticides, herbicides, are hurting the wildlife. And she was attacked, too.
Right. Right. When you have bad news to tell, especially in our very upbeat political atmosphere, many times people don't want to hear it.
I certainly got that feeling in the play. In addition to the ecological concerns, the play was dramatic in the sense that each character had a personality, and basically each character was flawed and forced to compromise their values.
Yep.
Why and how did they do that?
Well, it's funny because, you know, Ibsen's original title is called An Enemy of the People, and I decided to remove the Anne at the beginning because I don't think it's a play about one person who's standing up against forces, but it's really about, it's a term that moves around. Everyone in the play is a target of that expression. Everyone is a potential enemy because they all have to make take a moral stand, have find a moment, a dramatic question about whether they will compromise or, you know, shame themselves. I mean, we watch people say things to each other that they know are untrue for selfish and personal reasons. And I think that's a position that so many of us find ourselves in when we have to face whether we will take political action or whether we will accept what is happening around us.
The other problem that you encountered, and I've had this happen in my own life, is dealing with family. Mm. Some family supports the science. Some family supports my environmental actions. Some family members choose otherwise. And you had brother against brother, father against daughter. That's an important element in terms of how do you resolve problems, is how do you get along with the very people that you would like to all be working together.
Yeah, Dr. Stockman has an interesting line in the play where he says, I thought if I only said it clearly enough that people would understand. I've learned in life, if that's not always the question, you can say it incredibly clearly. And it really is, people have difficulty hearing things they don't want to hear. And so how you negotiate that, I mean, I have people in my family who have differing political points of view, and I will hear to my ears kind of some absurd answers sometimes about, like, well, I agree, I don't like that, but I like this. And then you try to probe a little bit further and say, well, what do you like about that? And the answers are disappointing because the answers aren't, they're not really answers. I find quite often It's emotion-based, and it's based on feelings, or that someone just likes something, and then I have to examine myself and say, do I profoundly agree with this opinion, or do I like this person and trust them, and so I just go along with everything that that person says because I think I should trust them? These are complicated questions.
There were a lot of questions raised, and one of the acts in the latter part of the play was a town hall meeting where the scientist, the doctor, tried to get out his points and actually passed out a bulletin, the Spring Wellness Report, the public health information sheet. I'm looking at it right here.
Oh,
and
my God.
It is really amazing because it talked about the fact that independent laboratory analysis suggested that there was bacterial contamination in portions of the spring's water system, how exposure may occur from bathing, drinking, and possible signs to watch out for in terms of your health and what you should do. And I particularly enjoyed the part where the doctor gave his brother a bottle of water from the spring saying, now drink it. And the brother didn't really want to. He had bottled water that he preferred to drink. How did you come up with that idea?
The play, for the most part, is very accurate to Henrik Ibsen's play. But that moment was our invention that we put into the play. I don't mind admitting that, you know, that was evoked from the Aaron Brockovich movie, that great scene in that movie. And speaking of movies, I don't know if you recognize this, but many people think that this play, Enemy of the People, is what the screenplay for Steven Spielberg's movie Jaws is based on, where there's a problem in the town and the town wants to ignore it for economic reasons.
I think that plays, movies, novels, nonfiction, books, all of these kinds of pieces of information share and take elements from one to another and readapt
right.
them. That's part of the artistic procedure.
Exactly, exactly. It's just how clever you are at manipulating all these things. So we're very accurate to Ibsen's play until the ending. That last scene of the play is something that I wrote because I really wanted to focus on the personal challenges of activism and resistance within a married couple's lives and how they try to balance that with the rest of the life that they want to live, because I thought that was an interesting question for an audience of today.
While your play had some heavy themes, it also had some light elements as well, because if you're going to go to the theater, you have to also enjoy yourself.
Yes, Ibsen actually, he wrote a letter to his publisher when he was composing the play, and in his letter he famously said, I'm not sure if this thing I'm working on is a comedy or a drama. Of course, it has this very heavy title, Enemy of the People. That sounds very serious. A friend of mine wrote me, who's a playwright, and said, Enemy of the People? Bart, lighten up. And it's funny because I find the play kind of light at many times. I mean, it's dealing with very serious themes, but there's a strong satirical thread that kind of runs through the play. And he has several moments of what I would call farce in the play, you know, with characters chasing each other and hiding from each other. And Ibsen writes a very, very play. It's not just a bunch of people shouting at each other about politics. There's a lot of human relationships. There's characters having fun, and there's a party in the play. And there's a lot of, you know, kind of satirical comedy where we get to enjoy the political double talk of the characters, like a late night talk show or Saturday Night Live. There are scenes like that in the play as well.
I had a lot of fun watching it, and we'll talk more about your play that you wrote and directed, Enemy of the People, and Ibsen's play, An Enemy of the People, when we return in a moment with my guest, Bart DiLorenzo.
Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman continues with further discussion of the world's critical ecological issues. For more information, you may call 310-559-9160 or go to www.ecoprojects.org. Now, here's Nancy.
I'm I'm speaking with Bart DiLorenzo. He is an adapter of play, a director. He's also an adjunct professor in the School of Theater at the California Institute of the Arts. Your current production at the Odyssey Theater, Enemy of the People, based on Ibsen's play, An Enemy of the People. But you don't have to know about Ibsen's play. What did he cover? Because as far as I'm concerned, you were covering critical ecological issues and what's happening all over our country in terms of our polluted water, our polluted air, how people react, how people don't react, how people are willing to spend the money to make the fix or not spending the money to make the fix. What was he dealing with?
I like to think that I am being very accurate to his play. All of those things he introduces, I maybe bring them up in contemporary language and using the political phrases of our time, you know, like alternative facts and draining the swamp and these terms that have entered our vocabulary. The architecture of the ideas are all his. I mean, he goes into some other areas that I don't because he's writing in the 1880s. There are moments when he deals religion a little bit at moments in the play. And then in the town hall meeting, where the play sort of explodes in Act 4, in Ibsen's play, that's an extremely long scene in which other political issues of his time are brought up. And I've condensed that a bit, but also reintroduced more contemporary political issues in that section. Yeah, I've really tried to honor what I believe he was doing with the script to convey the chaos of our particular historical moment.
How do students that you teach respond to older plays like his and newer plays like yours?
I think it depends. I mean, every student's different, of course. I think some of them get a real charge out of it, and some of them like TikTok. You know what I mean? It really just depends on the particular student. At CalArts, we get these, I mean, it's really an extraordinary student body. Students have come to that school because they're interested in a life in the arts. And because, at least in the School of Theater, they have some talent in that area. But even in those areas, CalArts is sort of a vanguard school where we are exploring kind of the latest word in the arts, creating immersive experiences and cutting edge kind of theater. So the students that I get tend to be very progressive-minded in every possible way. So I think they always like something that's new, even when it's old. My belief as an artist is that the reason some plays are classics is because they are always new. And sometimes it's important when you produce them to reveal the audience what is especially new about them. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do with this production.
It's obvious that old is new and still relevant when we still watch the ancient Greek plays, we watch Shakespeare. The concepts and the issues are as relevant then as they are now. You have adapted or directed so many different plays. How do you decide which one to do and what's the next play?
Well, sometimes someone just calls you up and asks you, would you like to direct this? And I have to say, oftentimes those end up being my favorite pieces that other people have chosen for me. There are so many things that I would like to direct. My disease is that I will go and attend a piece of theater, and as I'm watching it, I will immediately want to direct it. I want to stop the production and I'll go up there and change some things. I am a very greedy director, always, about pieces. So I always have an enormous list that I'm interested in. This production, for instance, the Odyssey Theater has been very good to me over the years in that oftentimes they just call me up and ask what I would like to do next. I prepare a good-sized list, usually, of the pieces that I think would be interesting, and then I talk to them about them, and then they choose which one they think would be most exciting or fit their season the best or whatever. And that's how this one came about. I had a list, and this is the one they were excited about. I directed another play of Ibsen's, his play Ghosts, a few years ago. And interestingly enough, this is the play that Ibsen wrote right after he wrote Ghosts. And many people believe that he wrote it in reaction to the reception to Ghosts, which is another play a bit about science in that it deals with the effects of syphilis, which was even a bigger issue in Ibsen's time than it is in ours. He was very interested in how science impacted everyday lives. And sometimes I will just read a play, because I try to read a lot as well, and I'll just close the book and say, this is the next play I want to do. That's happened a few times in my life, too.
I will look forward to seeing some of those new plays. I hope that you will consider some plays that cover some of my major ecological concerns. Obviously, we're concerned about clean water, clean air. We want to have our health taken care of. We want to have economic security. But I am devastated to hear and see about wilderness, wildlife, ecosystems being destroyed, animals becoming extinct every day. They deserve a place on this planet. And it seems like there are simply not enough coverage of extinction. Here in the city, we read about people getting upset about the coyotes in our streets. Well, we've taken over their habitat. Where are they supposed to survive? There are so many different related issues in terms of wildlife, protecting them in their natural habitat, how we deal with them in the interface with humans. Can you cover some of that?
I didn't even write this play. I adapted it. I'm really not a playwright, but give me a good play about that theme and I will be happy to explore it. But I agree with you. I don't know of a play that addresses that particular issue, now that I think about it. I'm not sure why playwrights haven't explored that particular theme, because it's a very interesting one. There was a play I remember many, many years ago, Cries from the Mammal House, that was about that. It's a play from the 1980s, a British play, that addressed some of those concerns. There's a recent play called Walden. It's not based on Thoreau's book. I think maybe it takes place in that forest there. And of course, Thoreau's book had a huge impact on me in my college years. One of my very, very favorite books, most beautifully written book. Please don't get on my case. Get on the playwrights, because I'm mainly a director. And so I need someone else to write it first, and then I can direct it.
Let us hope that some audience members will contact you with their plays so that you can direct the next one with the environmental themes that I'm concerned about and all the other social issues that are so important. One of the aspects in your play that we really should talk about, which is so relevant now, and I've been in broadcast media for decades, journalism for decades, and I am appalled by the current trend to call anything that somebody doesn't like fake news when they are actually covering the real news. You had a major theme throughout the play of how effective the media is, that not only do we depend on getting the message across through newspapers and other forms of media, but now the internet. You had an element, and I won't tell what happened, but whether or not the doctor should hit the publish button or not to put up his results, and how you had journalists, whose side was the journalist going to take, and whose side was the journalist going to present, and how accurately. Tell us how important that storyline was and is.
In Ibsen's play, his original play from the 1880s, Tom Stockman is stopped from spreading his message because it's very specific. The printer in the town kind of holds the press hostage because he won't print what the newspaper that says things that he doesn't want gotten out. And so it's very, very practical in 1880. And of course, I knew we couldn't carry that element forward because there's no such thing anymore. I haven't actually held a newspaper in my hands in a while now. I don't know when the last time I did. And because news travels so quickly right now, these news alerts that one gets all day if you have your notifications on, it travels so quickly. So I knew the play had to move into that world if I was going to give a sense of contemporary reality. And of course, I had to explore the other aspect, which is such a part of our lives, which is misinformation and how rumors quickly become, I wouldn't call them fact, but they become media. They become sources of information, quite often based on absolutely nothing. I mean, I do think I grew up in a simpler time when my only experience of the news, well, I had two experiences. My family got the newspaper, and so it was sitting there waiting for you whenever you looked at it, but it was always the news from yesterday. And then, was it at 6 p.m.? I forget, when the news came on in the evening, and you would get that day's news. And that was it. And it's not like your neighbor got a different piece of news that they could argue with you. We all sort of got the same news. And of course, that could have been abusive. They could have been feeding us propaganda, and maybe occasionally they were. But at least there was some research being done. And you could, you know, I think largely rely on that news. I think you still can largely rely on quite a lot of the news that the big networks, I guess I should be more specific, on four of the big networks, I think you can rely on some of the factual information from them. But this weird, like, combination that we have nowadays, where the news sources are also the opinion sources, they've sort of blended together with a couple of very significant networks.
In addition to listening to the current news, I think it's good for us to contemplate the news in a more in-depth way, as you have done in your play, Enemy of the People, because we have to evaluate what's going on, how to deal with it, what the conflicts are. If people want more information about you, they can go to your website, Bart DiLorenzo, BartDiLorenzo.com. And if they want more information about seeing your current production at the Odyssey Theater, go to the Odyssey Theater's website. They're in West Los Angeles. They'll have the dates, the times, and all the other critical information. I think that it's so valuable to keep theater alive, and I'm glad you're doing it. I listed so many of the plays that you were involved at the beginning of the show. I want to see every play, every movie, every song have an environmental theme. What were some of the themes that you've covered in the past?
Oh, I have covered the waterfront. Plays about all sorts of things that I've done. One of the great joys about working in the art form that I do is that it is so collaborative. And in this one, I was the initiating artist and did the sort of adaptation. I guess Henrik Ibsen is the initiating artist. But I wrote the adaptation and then, you know, sort of built the production around that. I usually don't. I mean, I usually direct plays that have already been written by somebody else. And quite often, if it's a new play, they will be in the room with me and we will be collaborating, and I will get very engaged in the world of that play. I've directed several plays with Asian playwrights and been exploring Asian culture. And I've done Jewish plays, learned more about Jewish culture. And I have a great fondness for film noir, and so I've done some kind of film noir-ish inspired plays. Because I work in the theater, I enjoy plays that kind of play with the idea of the theater and the illusions of the theater. And then you direct a Shakespeare play, and Shakespeare, of course, is always dealing with everything. Every play I do, I get to explore a whole new terrain. It is really one of the joys of being the type of artist that I am lucky enough to be.
One of my joys in being in an audience in a live theater is feeling the power of the superb actors and actresses that are presenting these issues. I don't know how they memorize all those lines. It's amazing, and of course you have an incredible production team that you couldn't function without: the staging, the lighting, the music, all these other elements. It really is a lot to bring together, and I wish more people would get out to live theater rather than just seeing movies or watching TV or seeing something on the internet.
I think this play is a lot of fun, even though it has a very serious title, and I think the play gives you something really to talk about at the end.
I wish we had more time to talk about all the different themes in the play. We've talked about some of the major ones. What do you want us to leave with in terms of this particular story?
I think I want you to leave with just thinking about our world. The play is an inspiration. Ibsen said that he thought he was more of a poet than a social realist. And I think, like all poems, they are fables, concrete, concentrated examples of these questions that we have in our lives. And I think all the great classic plays are asking the same question. What do we do? How do we live?
I left the theater thinking about so many different things and realizing that my struggle rules to try and protect the environment, wildlife, ecosystems, being attacked for doing so, bringing up the facts. I'm not alone, and that was very reassuring. Mm. And it was an enjoyable evening, certainly a moving adaptation. I definitely hope everybody goes sees Enemy of the People at the Odyssey Theater. I want to thank you so very much for doing the adaptation. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
I have been speaking with director and playwright Bart DiLorenzo, who is also an adjunct professor in the School of Theater at the California Institute of the Arts. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.